Our lesson for this evening is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 17, walking worthy of our calling by separating from all evil. Having extensively written about the high calling we believers in Christ have in our Lord, clarifying the great extent to which God's grace in Christ has been administered in our behalf, in Ephesians 1:1 to 3:21, Paul applied that truth to the Christian walk. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 20. In Ephesians 5, 1 to 17, Paul presented the fourth realm of walking worthy of our calling, that of separating from all evil. Today's world is certainly full of evil at all levels and in every realm, but the COVID-19 pandemic is revealing in many ways. So we view this timely passage for our insight and our edification. I'd like to look at God in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Lord, we're so grateful for the opportunity of studying Scripture and having the Word of God in our own language so that we can understand it and use it. In an era of great need and a great spiritual darkness in which we live, we ask, Father, for wisdom to understand the text and to rely upon the Spirit of God to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read the passage first, and then we'll look at it. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest his light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, in walking worthy of our calling in Christ, we believers should walk in love, imitating God as his dear children, for God is a God of love, like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says. Now, that love was supremely evidenced in Christ's love for us that led him to give himself on the cross as an offering and a sacrifice, a sweet-smelling savor to the Father in atoning for our sin, that he might save us and shower us with his blessing, like Ephesians 5:2 says. Accordingly, the self-sacrificial extent to which God went to save us from sin implies that we should walk in separation from evil. And that's what Ephesians 5 verses 3 and 4 is all about. The self-centered sins of sexual immorality, any kind of impurity and greed should not even be named among God's holy ones, those who are called to be separate from the sin which they were saved. The word holy actually means to be separate. Self-centered sins in speech, like obscenity, it's the Greek word aiskrotes, foolish talk, morologia, and coarse jesting, eutropelia, or vulgar or frivolous wit, are unacceptable and must be countered with thanksgiving. Of course, thanksgiving is always acceptable in the eyes of God. Paul explained that the separation from evil is essential in God's view. For people who are typically practicing vices that are named in verses 3 and 4 that we just mentioned, they have no inheritance in God's kingdom. And God's wrath is coming on the lost world because of such sins. And that's a strong motivation for a believer to separate from them in his life. I know that there are some believers in parts of evangelical circles that believe that this is a warning about losing your salvation. The implication is, if you're walking like this, don't you know you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God? No, what Paul is saying is this. He's saying, stop acting like people who are going to be going to hell. That people who go to hell do these things. Don't do that. So he encourages, and also people who are going to face the great tribulation. Who are going to face the great tribulation? People who have not accepted Christ as their Savior during the era of the church age. So they're going to be facing these expressions of the wrath of God. Some of these people, of course, will believe in Christ during the great tribulation, but when they start the great tribulation era, they're starting it under the judgment of God because they've rejected belief in Christ during the church era. So don't act like that. Don't act like people who are unsaved. After all, Paul tells us in verse 8 that we believers were at one time in spiritual darkness, but now we are positionally light in the Lord. So our experiential walk needs to match our lofty position in Christ. If positionally we are light in Christ, then we should walk as children of light, not darkness. The product of the Holy Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and that's what pleases the Lord versus a life in darkness that instead of goodness is in evil, instead of righteousness is in sin, and instead of truth it's in deceit and lying. Now, separating from evil includes not being sharers together, the Greek word is symmetokoi, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even exposing them, elegko. In verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. Now, Paul explained this exposition of the works of darkness in verses 12 through 17. God alone in Scripture exposes and convicts the deeds of the lost world, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. Let me just look at that verse. Those verses. Paul says, what do I have to do with it, to judging them that are without, that's unbelievers? Do you not judge them that are within, that's the church? But them that are without, God judges. So God is the one who judges people who are without. So the exposure of evil in this context must refer to exposing evil in other believers. Dr. Honer brought this out in his commentary, in the Bible Knowledge Commentary. So thus separated believers must not participate with the evil works of believers who are walking in darkness, or at least professing people who are walking in darkness. In addition, the evil works committed even by some fellow believers in secret are so vile, just as exists in the lost world, that it is a shame for us even to speak of them. It's fascinating. I have a book in my library that warns that there are evangelicals who call themselves evangelical homosexuals or evangelical lesbians and so forth. They go down the list of vices that we see as sin. But in many evangelical circles, they're trying to justify all these aberrant forms of behavior and orientation. That's not acceptable. God wants us to expose that as sin. That is sin. It's immorality. And God doesn't want us to think in terms of immorality. He doesn't want us to act in immorality. So there are all sorts of evil. That's just one area. Immorality is one area, but there are many areas of evil. I know of Christians who will work and earn income, and they can avoid paying taxes on it because they're getting cash or so forth. That's sin. That's stealing from the government. So we need to avoid that and actually even expose that. However, when the light of God's righteousness exposes such evil deeds, it manifests those deeds to what they truly are. And a guilty believer should then be motivated to wake up and rise up from the dead of functioning in such vile works in the light of God's righteousness that exposes these evils. That's why he said in verse 13 and 14, all things are reproved or made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake. This is an address to believers. Awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. It's experiential life and light in our walk. So, we believers must be very careful how we live, making the right use of every opportunity we have to live righteously, since the era in which we live is evil, and even a number of believers are engaged in that evil in their walk. That's why verses 15 and 16 say, see then that you, as Christians, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Paul is writing this, as we've said before, as a circular letter to churches throughout the province of Asia. And he was concerned. He was concerned that believers, in many cases, were not following through with their position in Christ to living lives that were righteous. In fact, some of them were involved in works that were very bad, very evil. And so he said, don't do that. Clean it up. So we believers need to discern the difference between God's righteousness in light and the evil of darkness, that we not be foolish. Aphrones means senseless, or unwise. Asaphoi. But comprehend intellectually, syneta, God's will, that we live separate from sin. So the lesson is, we must wisely walk worthy of our calling by separating from evil works of darkness. For our loving God, who saved us from evil by the self-sacrificial death of his Son, calls us to a holy, separated walk. Sins like sexual immorality, any kind of impurity, greed, obscenity, foolish talk, and coarse jesting contrast with the holy walk that God wants from us. And we are to avoid participating with other believers who practice evil, and even expose such evils of other believers, and watch that we avoid evil and use every opportunity to live rightly in our evil era. We've said this and noted this a number of times. One of the main reasons why God saved us, sure, he saved us to give us eternal life so we could live with him and so forth. But one of the reasons he saved us and he's left us here on the earth is that on the earth we would gain victory over sin in our lives, so that we would live lives that are righteous. And that gives glory to God. And of course, we can do that by relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, as Paul has already taught in Ephesians. So in application, may we take great care to be like our loving, holy God and live separate from all evil in our era. It's interesting. One of the unique characteristics of God is that he's intensely loving. He's also intensely righteous. Both loving and righteous. Both. It's not an either or. Often in our Christian circles, even evangelical circles, we have a tendency to emphasize either righteousness or so-called love. Some people say, well, I'm loving. I'm not going to try to dot every I and cross every T. I'm not going to worry so much about being accurate biblically, but I'm going to be a loving Christian. In God's eyes, they're not incompatible. True love is based upon true righteousness and true deeds. In fact, John in 1 John says, this is the love of God, that you obey his commandments. So the righteousness of God is completely compatible with the infinite love of God. If God so greatly loved us that he sent his dear Son to die on the cross for our sins, and he wants us to be recipients of his love, he also, because of his very innate being, wants us to be righteous like he is righteous. And we can be righteous like God is by relying on the Holy Spirit. But he wants us to be separate from sin, to live lives that are holy. And even if it means separating from the sins of other believers that are around us, we need to do that, because that's what God wants.